So start where you're at and just serve in whatever capacity, you know, you see the need presented to you. If you're not sure what that is, just simply talk to your pastor, talk to your elders or deacons or Sunday school teacher and say, what can I do to help? I think there might be two different people here, two different extremes, though, we can talk about, though. For most people, you know, you have somebody who just, like you said, just doesn't know where to start. And that person might be willing, but it's like they're waiting on an angel to wake them up and say, thou shalt go and do this. And just look for those opportunities. But there's also people that I've encountered, oftentimes young people, that just know that they know that they know that they're called to some, you know, grand preaching ministry. And they plan on going on to, you know, get a doctor of theology and go on and become a famous preacher. Well, that's wonderful. And they very well may be. And maybe the Lord's given them that desire and that skill set. And he will fulfill that. But, you know, they need to be serving today and sharing the gospel with their friends today and moving church today.
We read in Matthew 24, Jesus' words, that this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. But Jesus needs you as a Christian to become equipped for this work. Welcome to the Catalytic Podcast, a ministry resource of 1-8 Catalysts. This podcast exists to give you practical and easy-to-remember tools toward spiritual growth that leads to Great Commission fulfillment. We'll also have interesting interviews of people who have walked the journey towards Great Commission fulfillment, and we'll be able to hear their stories. And now it's time for the Catalytic Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be the first one to welcome you to this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. My name is Mike Falkenstein, and I am the president and founder here at 1-8 Catalyst. And I have a little bonus episode for you all today. So here's what happened. Back in June of 2021, I was recording the final episodes of the season one of the podcast. And season one were these interviews that I was doing with people who were just going through, here's how I came to know the Lord. Here's then what happened as I began to find Great Commission fulfillment, and then some suggestions for people. And we have had now, this will be the 24th episode of those types of interviews, and they've all been super fantastic. And I thought last June that I'd gotten all of those episodes released and out, and I'm now recording season two and going through with new guests, and we've got a whole new thing going on for season two. Really excited about that. And one of the episodes from season one never got released. And so today I am releasing the final episode of season one with my apologies to the guest, a gentleman by the name of Brian Gilson, who for just some reason, Brian, just slipped through the cracks. My apologies to those who are listening. Please do not take the delay in getting this episode to you as any indication of its quality. Brian's job that he did, it is all fantastic. And so you guys can just consider this to be a bonus episode of season one of the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope it's enjoyable and useful to you. And please join us next week for the start of season two of the Catalytic Podcast. If you're not already a subscriber, let me encourage you, wherever you're finding these podcasts, to subscribe. We've got 25 episodes coming your way in the next 25 weeks. It's going to be really fun. I'm really excited. A lot of great guests. And so please subscribe, join us, share these episodes. Enjoy this interview now. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. Again, I am Mike Falkenstein, and I am so glad to introduce you all to a new guest, a new friend of mine. Again, someone that I've gotten to know on social media, and it is a nice way in some ways to be able to connect with like-minded people. And so today I have Brian Gilson, who directs a ministry in Oklahoma that I'm excited to introduce you to as well. Brian, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me, Mike. I'm really honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. Let's do this. If you could give everyone kind of the quick 2-minute or 3-minute, here's who I am, give us a little information about your ministry, which I think is called P28 Global, if I'm right. Give folks kind of an introduction to you and your ministry.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So the name of the ministry is P28 Global Ministries, and that is inspired by Psalm 28, which is this beautiful piece of scripture where God the Father is speaking to God the Son, and he tells him, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. So we say that it is our heart to be used by him to bring our king his inheritance, to bring him the nations. And so to that end, we are focused right now on international student ministry here in Oklahoma State University, here in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We've also had some outreach at the University of Oklahoma and the University of Tulsa as well. But we just get this opportunity to pour into the lives of these students who come here from all over the world. And it is an opportunity to, you know, to be involved in the King's mission to seek and to save that which was lost. And it truly is a privilege.
That sounds great. And as we'll probably talk about in a couple of times during this interview, I have a deep heart towards international student ministry. And so I'm excited to about what you're doing. And it really is a special ministry, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, these kids, and to some people, I know they think of them as Muslims or as Hindus or as Buddhists or as atheists. But in most cases, they're just kids who are away from home for the first time in many cases. They're away from their families and support networks and anything familiar. And we get the opportunity to be that support network for them and to try to develop those relationships and to just be there as friends and family for them.
That's right. And, you know, for me, I think when I realized that a lot of these international students are top students in their home country, and you know, these are people who will go back to their country in many cases and become leaders, and to have the opportunity to reach them with the gospel while they're here is, it's actually kind of a neat opportunity, isn't it?
It's a strategic opportunity as well.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That opportunity to pour into them now and then to see that those seeds that are sown diffuse all over the world.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I'm glad that you're involved with that. That's a strategic ministry. So Brian, those who are listeners, regular listeners to the podcast know, you know, we have a deep heart with this podcast to hear people's stories, really not only the, here's how I came to know Christ, but then the, how I went from, okay, I'm a Christian to, gosh, I think God actually may want to use me in some of his work, you know, locally or around the world. So let's start with a little bit about your background, about how you came to know the Lord and, you know, that process of coming to faith.
Absolutely. My mom made sure that I grew up around church. And for that, I'm very thankful. And there was a point as a young teenager that it was actually at a revival service that the Holy Spirit really convicted me of my need for repentance already at that age. And at that point, I dedicated my life to the Lord. Unfortunately, as is so common, I did wind up falling away and abandoning that commitment for a good period of my life. I wound up serving in the United States Marine Corps during that time, was deployed for a significant amount of time of my service. After I got out of the military, I went into commercial construction. I wound up becoming a project manager and did that for several years. But in 2008, some of your listeners may remember, we had the housing crisis and the resultant recession. It really hurt our business, and I wound up losing my job. Our industry was completely shut down for a period, and there were no prospects. And this period really hurt me. And it was also during this time that a former employee actually reached out to me and invited me to go to church with him. So what did I have to lose? I wound up going with him. And really quickly, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and reminded me of that commitment that I made so many years ago and that commitment that I had abandoned so many years ago. And at that point, you know, that repentance just returned in a major way. And I rededicated my life to the Lord, and he set my feet on a path. And Mike, I haven't looked back since.
That's great. That's great. And it's fun to hear these stories of how God does that, isn't it? That, you know, you came to know the Lord, and then to be away from him for a time, he certainly never gave up on you, did he?
Absolutely. God is faithful even when we are not.
That's great. And I bet that these years, so you're in the Marine Corps and you're doing construction and the work there, you know, the being able to potentially minister to people who have a similar story to you, hopefully you've been able to see God use that as well, that, you know, other people who have maybe are not walking with the Lord, he uses those experiences in our lives, doesn't he?
He does. And what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good. And I'm always reminded of that. A pastor once referred to this as the rule of 50-20, because in Genesis 50-20, you know, Joseph tells his brothers that you intended this to me for evil, but God will use it for your good. Mm-hmm. And that is just a rule that we as believers, it's our inheritance that we can see that, that even when the enemy does things to hurt us, God will use that for good in our lives.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's great. So really then, if this was 2008, then you were a, you know, you were not a, you were an old man, but you weren't a young guy either. Right. So then you're coming back to the Lord. Give folks then kind of that next step of, the turning points from, okay, so you come back to the Lord in 2008 to, okay, I actually think now he wants me to be involved in some kind of a ministry. How did that process take place?
You know, it's interesting. You use the word process. I think we all know there's definitely a process to that, a process of learning and growing in the Lord. But early on for me, very early on in my walk, I realized that the Lord, you know, had a role for me and he had a purpose for me and a job for me to do. And when I look back in my time in the Marine Corps and later as a young adult and through my 20s, I would not have understood this at the time. But looking back on it, I realized that I was very, very driven. And I was driven by this sort of undefined desire to have meaning and purpose and relevance and to be somebody of relevance. And when I came to the Lord at the age of 31, actually, when I came to the Lord, you know, he gave definition to that which had been undefined. And he gave purpose where there had not been purpose and meaning to what had been meaningless before. And so very quickly, I knew that there was a role and a purpose, although it took some time to really begin to understand what that purpose was. So very early on, I just began to look for opportunities to serve. And, you know, interestingly, the earliest thing that looked like, and I was just joking with somebody recently, how so much of my ministry over the years has involved moving chairs. I'm sure some of your listeners might understand this, but the church we were attending at the time had a large multi-use space, and we would be moving chairs to set up for church, and then we'd take down the chairs after church, and then we'd set up chairs for various other events, and we'd set up chairs for meals, and we'd clean up after meals. And, you know, Mike, this takes people, and we see the pastors and the staff and the pastors' wives and deacons doing these things, but they need our help. And that was one of the first things that I saw a need for, was just to start moving chairs. And of course that transitioned into many other things over the years, but I think moving chairs was the beginning of that process for me.
That's right. Sometimes, yeah, God first just wants to use us in simple ways, right? And so you're beginning to see, you know, ways that you can be involved in ministry. And so from moving chairs to international student ministry, give folks a little idea of what that process was like.
Yeah, absolutely. Early on in my walk, my wife and I got introduced to the ministry of the Voice of the Martyrs. Mm. And we attended one of their conferences, and that really opened our eyes to just the experience of the body of Christ around the world. You know, here in the United States, we make up less than 5% of the world, and our experiences are not necessarily representative or common. And as I began to become more aware of, you know, just the experience of the body of Christ, the experience of our brothers and sisters around the world, I began to spend more time in prayer, interceding for different countries, for different people, for different situations. And at this point in time, I actually wound up going to graduate school and was able to design a graduate program in a secular university around the spread of the gospel in the Muslim world. This was something I feel the Lord directed me to at that point in time. And that enabled me eventually, a few years later, to be able to travel through the Muslim world, particularly in the Caucasus, as a researcher, but really there doing kingdom work and sharing the gospel and encouraging people and preaching the gospel when opportunity was presented and you know, handing Bibles out when the opportunity was presented. So that ability to travel, conducting kingdom business as a researcher was really just a fascinating opportunity for me. Mm. And, you know, my plan at one point was actually to move to the South Caucasus and to live and die on the missions field. But God actually had other plans, and you know, God is good. And he wound up directing us into this international student outreach, which was so fascinating, Mike, because it wasn't something that in my mind was a ministry with, and I'm making air quotes right now for your listeners. It wasn't a ministry, so to speak. It was just something that we were doing while we were waiting on the Lord to show us the next steps. And the Lord kept bringing these people in front of our path. And as a master student and later a doctoral student, I would come into contact with people from all over the world. And you know what? We would invite them to church. We would invite them into our home for dinner, and we would take them out to lunch, and we would just spend time with them and socialize with them. And an extension of that was sharing our lives with them and sharing the gospel with them as well. And ultimately, this began to take more and more of our time before we realized, hey, this is a full-time ministry. This isn't just a side thing anymore. And, you know, I'm reminded of a scripture in Proverbs 37:4. He tells us to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that undefined desire that I described many years earlier, I find that desire fulfilled in serving him and being able to serve his people and to reach out to so many of these students. I think ours is to be willing to serve where we are, and he'll provide those assignments for us. You know, I don't think God really needs anointed preachers and teachers or skilled singers and musicians. He needs servants, and he'll provide that anointing, and he'll provide that skill set.
That's great. Well, that's exciting. It's exciting to hear. And I want to hear more about that, Brian. For now, let's go ahead and take a quick break and let our friend Tom Muller say a few words. When we come back, Brian, I want to do a couple of things. One, get into more of the kind of the weeds, if you will, get more into detail about the research you were doing and how you felt like God was calling you into that. And then finally, you know, we have this final question we like to ask people about some first steps that you would advise people towards. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
At 1-8 Catalyst, we have a deep heart to create resources to help you find great commission fulfillment. Our latest book resource is titled What You Do Shows Who You Are, a book on the 6 marks of a disciple of Jesus. We believe that this book is a great way for you to grow spiritually and then take that growth and share it with others. Intended to be a small group or Sunday school class study, we believe that spiritual growth happens best as you work through each of the 6 marks with a group of other believers. Be sure to get a copy for each of the folks in your small group today. Available on Amazon.com.
Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us again for this, the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. And I'm here again with Brian Gilson, joining us from Stillwater, Oklahoma. And Brian, fun to hear your story. I am interested to know a little bit about this research you were doing in the Muslim world. And here's what I'm interested in. You know, many of the listeners, they're always so interested in, okay, I want to serve in a way, but gosh, you know, where do I begin? How do I hear this call from God? You know, what does this actually look like? And so give folks kind of an idea for you, you know, kind of what that looked like for you. In other words, was there a defining moment you said, gosh, I have got to do this. God is definitely calling me. What was the real defining moment there for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I returned, or I say returned to school. I started my bachelor's degree at 31. This was at the point that I, you know, lost my job and had been on unemployment for a while. And the Lord directed me to take advantage of those GI Bill or VA, you know, educational benefits, and wound up getting a bachelor's degree. By the time I completed that degree, my heart was fully given to the Lord. I was prepared for whatever the next steps were. And I really had a heart for, at that point, once again, through the ministry of Voice of the Martyrs, a heart for the underground and persecuted church, particularly in the Muslim world. My time in the military I'd spent quite a bit of time in the Muslim world and had some familiarity and some comfort. And I kind of foresaw spending time in that part of the world. So there was a point that I needed to decide what to do with that degree. Was I going to work, get a job, and then somehow wind up in ministry through some other circuit, you know, some other way, or was I going to do something different? And the idea of graduate school was presented. And I was pouring my heart out in prayer to the Lord about asking for direction on this. And I had just read where Moses was struggling with judging Israel. And his father-in-law, who we know as Jethro, gave him some advice. And we find out elsewhere that Jethro's name was actually Reuel. And I remember pouring my heart out to the Lord and saying, Lord, give me a Reuel. Give me somebody to guide me and direct me. And I wound up reaching out to the department that I wound up doing my master's degree, well, and PhD in. And the person that wound up becoming my advisor's name is Reuel. This is the very next day. So wow. To me, that was quite a miraculous, you know, intervention there. And of course, he encouraged me to pursue my interest through a degree. And, you know, just through prayer in designing that program and designing a master's thesis and later a doctoral dissertation, the Lord really directed my steps. You know, he tells us that if we are open to him and we devote ourselves to him, that he will direct our steps. So I was just open to whatever those next steps were. And I walked through the doors that were open, and I tried very hard not to bang my head against the doors that were closed. And that's the direction that it led.
That's great. So it sounds like it was a lot of time in prayer, time in God's word, which we know, that neither one of those are going to return void, right? That's really exciting to hear. So, well, this kind of leads then, Brian, to our final question, my final question for you, which is, again, you know, many of the listeners, they really want to know, okay, how does this work? I really want to discern this for my own life. And so I always like asking people who've come on the podcast, based on your experience, just the number one thing that Western Christians, maybe those that are listening, could do to take this first step in finding out how God wants to use them to reach their world for Christ. So what advice, based on your experience in your own life, would you have for those who are listening today?
You know, Mike, I think there is a tension, sort of a unique tension between waiting on the Lord while also serving where we are and dwelling and serving in the opportunities we have in front of us now. So certainly for me, there has been a lot of waiting on the Lord and spending time in prayer and waiting on those next steps. But during that time, my wife and I would serve where the opportunities presented themselves. So I would suggest to your listeners, to someone who's in that situation, to start out just like we talked about earlier with moving chairs. Look for those simple opportunities to serve, because ministry will always, no matter how far you go and, you know, how high up you go in ministry or how long you're involved in some sort of vocational ministry, it's always going to look like moving chairs or cleaning toilets or serving food or cleaning up after food. This is a significant part of what the job entails. So start where you're at and just serve in whatever capacity, you know, you see the need presented to you. If you're not sure what that is, just simply talk to your pastor, talk to your elders or deacons or Sunday school teacher and say, what can I do to help? Now, I think there might be two different people here, two different extremes, though, we can talk about, though. For most people, you know, you have somebody who just, like you said, just doesn't know where to start. And that person might be willing, but it's like they're waiting on an angel to wake them up and say, thou shalt go and do this. And just look for those opportunities. But there's also people that I've encountered, oftentimes young people that just know that they know that they know that they're called to some, you know, grand preaching ministry. And they plan on going on to, you know, get a doctor of theology and go on and become a famous preacher. Well, that's wonderful. And they very well may be. And maybe the Lord's given them that desire and that skill set, and he will fulfill that. But, you know, they need to be serving today and sharing the gospel with their friends today and moving chairs today.
Yeah, thank you for that. And as you're talking, Brian, I'm thinking about, because you mentioned young people, right? And so I often have a heart towards young people and helping them really discern what God is doing. Many times, I think the error that we have as young people is that, you know, we want to make things happen quickly. And we want to get into some kind of leadership position quickly. And, you know, when really just your advice about, hey, just start small, just see where God's using you. I think part of that also, by the way, is discerning how God wants to use you in, okay, how am I gifted? What are my spiritual gifts? Where, as I do these different opportunities, maybe small ones at first, I see where God is blessing. those opportunities. I see where God, and you mentioned earlier about, you know, closed doors, where is God closing doors? And especially for young people, I think the advice would be life is long. You have time generally, right? Unless God calls you, you know, home early. would you agree with that? I mean, it seems like early on, it's just, hey, just find out kind of how God has made you to, and see where doors are opening and where doors are closing.
Absolutely. And it's a training process as well. I mean, you know, as you're well aware, oftentimes the burden associated with ministry is something we have to learn. Not necessarily to bear, but we have to learn to not bear. We have to learn to give that to the Lord. And that process of sometimes getting beat up on and sometimes getting harassed and accused. And we have to learn to walk through that process and trust the Lord. And that is, you know, we keep coming back to this word process. Mm-hmm. So be willing to go through the process and take the intermediate steps necessary.
I like that a lot. So, well, Brian, thank you so much for that. So I'm wondering, for those who are interested in learning more about P28 Global, about you, what are the best ways that they can get in touch with you and learn more about what you guys are doing?
Absolutely. So we have a Facebook page and a Twitter account and an Instagram account. I think all of those are obligatory these days. But we also have a website, p28global.com, quite a bit of information on there. And if any of your listeners would like help sort of defining their own outreaches and things of that nature, we are glad to work with individuals or churches or other ministries. So you can contact us through that website at p28global.com.
Oh, great. Well, I'm going to encourage the listeners to do two things. One, get in touch with Brian and his ministry to find out, but then also get in touch with Brian if you have a university or college in your town and learn how you can be involved in international student ministry, because it actually would be interesting to learn, Brian, about this, but I would guess, I don't know this for sure, if there is any college of any size in your town, there are most definitely international students there, right? I mean,
absolutely. I think we'd have a hard time finding a university that did not have international students.
That's right. And then right from then it's, and I'm trying to remember the stats I heard about that at one point, but there are statistics out there where something like, and maybe Brian, you know, 70 to 80% of international students who come to America never have the opportunity to eat in the home of an American. But then those that do, especially a Christian's home, you know, the statistics are great that, you know, they then get introduced to Christ themselves. And so again, it just underscores the, you know, the real opportunity there. So, well, Brian, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm real thankful for you and what you're doing in your ministry.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for joining me for the latest episode of the Catalytic Podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at 18catalyst.org. And never forget, the Great Commission is a command that Jesus gave you as a Christian to obey. I'll be praying for you that you find your part in it. See you next time.